Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. It is my 100th episode. I can't believe it. I knew I was getting close, and then I finally realised, wow, last week was 99. So this is the 100th episode of the Alcohol Free Life podcast. Amazing. So I thought you'd just get me this week. I can hear a massive turning off. What I thought I'd actually like to do is just look back over some of the podcasts, because actually what happened was I was looking at the list just to double check that it was the 100th episode. And I looked back and I realised, wow, there's some that I'd completely forgotten about, some real gems in there. So I thought I'd actually just kind of pop up a few comments from some of those podcasts that I remembered. And then I actually thought what would be nice would be to answer a few questions, because I get a lot of questions come in, either into the Sober Club or just onto my, I don't know, direct message or email. And obviously I answer people. But then I realise, well, actually, we all have stuff in common, and so, you know, these questions and answers might actually be of benefit for other people. So that's what I thought I'd do. So I'm just going to whiz through a bunch of questions, and I think that, you know, it's important to stress that they're people who are at different stages of this journey, if you like, of sobriety. As most of you know, I run the Sober Club, and it's a community for people who have either already ditched the booze, or, you know, they're just ditching the booze, or maybe they've been sober years, because it's all about the what's next. That's not to underplay the importance of the sobriety, because it underpins absolutely everything. But really, the true work comes in once the light bulb has gone on and you've got that solidity in what's going on there. And then things start to blossom and open up, and you do start to be really care about other stuff, because you become, you know, you become authentic, you become who you're really meant to be. And that's when it gets exciting, because you start to care about health and well-being and on. And somebody was asking me, actually, what happens when this was one question that I actually didn't write down, but I can remember what this person was asking me. And they were saying words to the effect of, the pink cloud has gone away. You know, I don't have that euphoria, because a lot of people talk about this pink cloud, that in the early stages of sobriety, you can hit a phase where you feel just fantastically euphoric and amazing. And then it goes flat again. I mean, it's kind of called life, right? But this kind of flatness can blindside you a little bit, because you thought that everything was great, and you've ditched the booze and that's it, and from then on in everything is going to be marvelous. And of course, life isn't really like that. So, you know, I think the phrase that a lot of people use is emotional sobriety. You know, you might be physically not drinking, but it takes longer to get to that stage where you have emotional sobriety. And that really means being able to deal with your emotions. I've spoken a lot on the podcast about this concept of, immaturity, really, emotional immaturity, which most of us have, because everything we've ever done has been under a frame of reference of booze, probably since we were teenagers. And of course, you know, when you've stopped drinking, obviously you are going to have to face some of that old stuff. So, I remember, I think it was David Schneider says that he talks about setting yourself free, about self-improvement, and that concept of kind of being on a speedboat, and you're doing all this fantastic work for, you know, self-help work and elevating your consciousness and your enlightenment. And it's as if you're on this speedboat ready to take off. But then you've dropped this bloody great big anchor into the water. So you are literally being held back. And for many of us, that's exactly what happens. So we ditch the booze, but we've still got that anchor. We've still got a ton of baggage that we, you know, we have to deal with. Now, that might scare the hell out of you, particularly if you're just in the early stages. And that actually stops people from even wanting to stop drinking, because they, you know, a little bit of them thinks, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to deal with this baggage. I don't know if I want to go there. But the good news is that you will feel so much more resilient, you know, to be able to go ahead and deal with that. So, yeah. So whoever asked me that question, that's kind of my answer, really, is it's very normal. It's very normal that the pink cloud doesn't last forever. But it may be that yeah, you're solid in your sobriety, but you've actually got to start looking at some other stuff. You've got to be willing to look. But you know, life will be good, and it's worth doing. I mean, one really important tip, I think, is just to be willing to be in the moment and just not spend quite so much time, you know, being in the past. So just before I go on to the next question, I must just also remind you that the Sober Club is open. We thought, as it's the 100th anniversary of the podcast, and also because we're coming to the end of Sober October, and I've had a few emails from people saying, you know, I'm doing Sober October, but I've also been listening to the podcast, been reading a bit of Quitlet, I've seen some of the blogs you've written, and now I'm just starting to realise, okay, it's more than just this white knuckling it through October, and I really want to carry on, and I'm catching sight of this possible something else for me. So we thought, OK, we'll open up Sober Club just for this weekend. So if you would like to join us, then you got till Sunday night. Then we're going to close it up again, because we're still adding a few more features and stuff. So this is the very last time it will be this price. It's amazing value, though I say so myself. I'm not going to do a big sell. You can look it up. But do have a look. It's thesoberclub.com. You can click on the link in the show notes or on social media, and we would love for you to join us if it resonates with you, if you want to focus on living your absolute best life. We cover just about everything in there. We had a most amazing session a few nights ago, expert session with a naturopath on good fats versus bad fats. And there's people trying all sorts of great new recipes. And then for something completely different, you know, we've had an angel expert, and then we have relationships and fitness and all manner of things. And if none of that floats your boat, well, there's an online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. We have just a full library, a full member portal of stuff going on. And of course, we have an amazingly supportive community. And I'm in that community, I don't know, 3-4 times a day. You can't keep me out, really, because, you know, I just love connecting with people. And we have people literally at all different stages, some people on day one and some on year 6. And it works. It really works, because it's all about that connection and inspiration and being held accountable. You know, once people are kind of posting and they share a little bit about what's going on in their life, it's not so easy to then convince yourself that actually, do you know what, moderation will be fine and I'll just have one. Because you've kind of made that commitment and found, you know, like-minded people. So anyways, soberclub.com. It's the price of a, you know, coffee and a biscuit a week, depending on where you get your coffee from. Certainly if it's Costa or some such. And you know, it won't be this price again. So do join us. Of course, you do get some fabulous free gifts as well, such as Glenn Harrold's great meditation, hypnosis, audio meditation, and Elsa Fanks, De-Stress Your Life. And there's an exclusive audio from me. And there's a clean eating plan. So there's a whole bunch of gifts as well if you decide to come on board. So it's thesoberclub.com if you want to join us. We're open just for this weekend. And this was one of the questions that came in from somebody in the club who is still going through that, you know, sort of up and down with drinking and then not drinking, which, you know, so many of us went through so many times. And this person said, where is it? Oh, I've lost it now. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Drinking makes me make poor eating choices. It's the opposite of what I want. I'm trying to eat healthily, but it also makes me mean, moody, makes me fall asleep on the couch, even when my kids are around. How long will it take me to realise alcohol is not my friend? How long? And I'm sure you can imagine there were lots of, very supportive answers. But I think what most of us said to this person was, what do you want? What do you actually want? And why do you want it? Because this is the question. And rather than focusing on the negatives of what you ought to have done, focusing on the how long will it take my brain to get this, which kind of tends to suggest that possibly you're also thinking to yourself, oh, I'm so hopeless, I'm rubbish at this, I'm, all these negatives that we throw on ourselves. When will I realize, when will I get it? Rather than make it about you and the negatives of what allegedly you should be doing, focus on, number one, the fact that it's alcohol that's the issue here. It's alcohol that is addictive. I don't know how we managed to miss that piece of the equation, but it's actually massive. We've all been programmed from a very young age just to kind of go through that rite of passage into drinking alcohol. No one ever questions it. In fact, you're questioned if you don't do it. It's seen as the norm. And then when it comes back and kind of bites you on the bum, allegedly there's something wrong with you. Well, that's not the case. It's alcohol is a highly addictive substance. Number one, don't blame yourself. Alcohol is the issue here. But number two, rather than focusing on this negative of, when will I be clever enough, bright enough to get this right? Instead, focus on what is it that I want? And how amazing might a life without alcohol be? It goes back to that thing of being sober curious, but actually properly curious, and ask yourself, what could I gain if I push through this hard bit and get through to the other side? What might be there for me? And if you do have a strong why, if you actually do want this, and most people do, if they really sit down and think it through, and you really do know exactly what it is you want and you know why you want it, set yourself a challenge, set a period of time, because forever may feel too big, and do your prep, do your groundwork. Absolutely put that stuff in place. I've said it so many times, but work out, your whoop. What is your whoop? What's the wish? What is it you want? What's the outcome? And that means, what will it look like? So imagine your life without the booze. You refer to, kind of kipping out on the couch when really you know that you should be with your family and being healthy and yet still going back to drinking. So visualize your life alcohol free. Get a sense of that outcome. And then the next O stands for obstacle. And then ask yourself truthfully, what is stopping you? What is it that's getting in the way? Is it the voice in your head? Is it, somebody else offering you drinks? Exactly what is it? Is it a certain place that you always go to? And when you know what it is, the P of the whoop, of course, stands for plan. And when you really know what the obstacles are that keep popping up for you, then you can plan to find a different way. Eventually, you won't need to do as much prep. Eventually, it will come naturally. But in the beginning, as with any new skill, you have to put the work in. You actually have to really do the groundwork. And yes, it will feel difficult at the beginning, just like driving a car. It does feel difficult at the beginning. Everything feels, nothing feels like it flows. You have to remember, hold on a minute, is it this button or this button? Do I press this to turn left or this? And often you get it wrong. So you'll click the right when you want to go left. It's how it is. But after a relatively short time, it flows and you don't remember it being that hard. So while you're in this, you're just going to have to trust me when I tell you that it does get easier, but you have to actually do it. It's no point in just kind of constantly beating your head against a brick wall and said, when will I learn? When will I learn? God, I did that for years. And the answer is, if you just keep asking yourself that, probably never. When things will change is when you realize that you really want them to change. In coaching terms, we talk about, it's that kind of getting away from, isn't it? If you've really had enough of the pain, you know, then you're going to do something different. It's that phrase, you know, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. So partly it's the getting away from. But the other piece of the equation, which I, of course, love to focus on, is it's the what can you look towards? It's the fantastic possibilities that are there for you when you've done this. And that's the bit I try and, you know, try and encourage people to just really, really catch sight of. Catch sight of a better life. Have that motivation, because then you get the sense that this is really, really worth doing. On a completely different note, I had an email here, a text here rather, from somebody who said, Janie, I've dreamt twice that I was at a party and I decided under peer pressure to drink alcohol. And while I was still in my dream, I woke up with a hangover and I feel terrible, berating myself and wonder how on earth I'm going to face everyone. And then I wake up. My initial thought was one of absolute panic. But then the sense of relief I feel when I realise it was a dream, I was asleep, is incredible. Is this normal? And it is. It's absolutely normal to have these drinking dreams, as we call them. They can go on for quite a long time. And it is. It's really interesting. I think it's our unconscious mind just making sense of it all and creating those new sort of neural pathways. Because, you know, don't forget our unconscious mind's a bit like a computer, and it's dragging up all the, you know, whole bunch of stuff from the past and the present, and sometimes mixing it all up. And if you've had lots of years of drinking, lots of experiences, then it may well, you know, draw on those things. And of course, it might also be that your unconscious mind is helping you to reinforce that you really do not want to go back there to that place. But my tip would be actually a tip that you can use as well. If you find sleeping difficult, and a lot of people do in the early weeks, have real awful insomnia. And so this is going to sound, you know, bonkers woo-woo, but it honestly works. And that is, before you go to sleep, you can say to yourself, or say out loud if you want, or write down, I will have a lovely restorative sleep and I'll wake up feeling refreshed at whatever time you wake up. Honestly, you'll be amazed. It can really work. I mean, either way round, it's got to be better than what we often do, right? Which is just kind of, as we're crashing into bed, sort of, you know, cursing and swearing and say, oh my God, it's so late and I wish I hadn't stayed up so late and I've hardly got any time to sleep. And now I'm going to have a load of crap old drinking dreams and I'm going to wake up feeling terrible. You know, so we're just sowing all those negative seeds again. And actually, just by saying that one phrase, even if you don't believe it, interestingly, your unconscious mind doesn't know the difference. So it's worth a shot anyway. Just literally say, I will have a lovely, refreshing sleep or restorative sleep, and I'll wake up refreshed at whatever time you want to wake up. It's worth a try. Someone else has asked me about, it's the social question. And of course, I get asked this a lot. People sometimes actually are fearful of stopping drinking because of the whole social piece, you know, the kind of JOMO, the FOMO, the fear of missing out. I was going to say it becomes JOMO. It becomes the joy of missing out when you realise you're not missing anything. But that fear that in social situations you're not going to fit in, that fear that people are going to say something to you that, you know, makes you think, oh, you know, I'm not the person I was. And you know, let's not sugarcoat this. You may have relationships where other people are not supportive. And also, don't forget, you're shining a light on their behaviour. So if you are someone who's been drinking for years and you meet certain groups of people or family and they all drink, then it can be quite a shock to the system when they suddenly see that you aren't. And it can actually feel quite threatening for some people. And the way they deal with that is to diss you and just tell you you're boring. Somebody in the sober club had that experience this week, where a family member, told them that they actually preferred them when they were drinking. Preferred them. I mean, you know, what a horrible thing to say. But the truth of it is, that's their stuff. It's not your stuff if somebody says that to you. And the reality is, yeah, you're doing this for you. You're not doing it for anyone else at all. But anyways, this particular question that came in was about the fact that They've been doing work. This person has been doing lots of work projects on Zoom. You know, God, who hasn't? And everyone in their office was sent a bottle of booze. You know, to sort of enjoy the Zoom meetings together to celebrate. I mean, that's happening a lot, isn't it? This kind of online drinking together, you know, so you all get sort of slowly pissed in your own home. And you know, the question is, what do I do? Do I pretend to drink this booze? You know, do I say anything? Do I not? You know, I mean, really awkward when you've not even been in your kind of office situation for ages. But again, I'm sure you can guess the answer, which is, you know, absolutely give the booze away or say no thanks and drink whatever you want to drink. And of course, this goes back to my mantra that I repeat all the time, which is keep the ritual, change the ingredients. So if you want to have a celebratory drink, in inverted commas, with other people, then always, always do. But, you know, since when has the word celebration or the word drink have to mean alcohol? I mean, of course, in our culture, it does. But we need to reframe that. We need to slowly but surely start a revolution where the word celebration does not have to mean booze. Let's have some goddamn birthday cards for teenagers and 20-year-olds that don't have pictures of champagne on. Let's have the word drink meaning, you know, something that you consume that hydrates you. Not alcohol. Let's have a glass that happens to be a nice shape being called a nicely shaped glass, not a wine glass. But anyways, so drink whatever you want. I'll just be absolutely calm, authentic, in your own power, and just proudly say, yeah, I've got my fabulous alcohol-free fizz or whatever it is you choose to have. And this is where we've just got to hang on to the fact that, you know, we all think that other people are thinking about us all the time, but actually they're not. They're thinking about themselves. And usually these social situations that we fear so much in the early weeks, I was terrified of going out, you know, with friends. But the reality is, if you don't make a big deal of it, usually they don't either. Give them a heads up, certainly if you're meeting in person, give a heads up, oh, by the way, I'm not drinking, and give whatever excuse you like. Just if you want, you can just tell the absolute truth. You know what? I feel so much better when I don't drink. Really appreciate your support. Or you might just want to say, you can say whatever you like. I'm on medication. Anything works. But be sure and steadfast. Give a heads up. Be calm. Be authentic. And know in advance what you are going to drink if you're, you know, in the really early stages of all this stuff. But ultimately, as I just said, ultimately, most people find that actually isn't a problem at all. After the first agonizing kind of episode where you first go out on a social occasion and you feel really nervous, you very quickly realize that certainly after the first drink, people couldn't care less what you're drinking. Really isn't, you know, they only care, make sure they've got theirs. and quite often you'll be surprised and you'll find that people will say to you, wow, that's amazing. I wish I could do it. And, you know, therein lies your opportunity to start spreading a bit of light. It's been amazing, amazing in the Sober Club to see people, you know, they get to, I don't know, a few months sober. And then they suddenly say, oh, wow, somebody at work or a colleague or a friend has kind of come to me and asked for my advice because they've seen the change in me. And, you know, they want some of what I'm having. So, you know, we've all got this opportunity. All of us have this opportunity to share some of this joy. Let's have a look. I'll see if there's another couple of questions that I can throw at you that might, you know, might be shared experiences, if you like. So, yeah, we do a lot in the Sober Club on nutrition, of course, because it's a very big, very, very big piece of the whole ditching the booze picture. So one question that I got recently, somebody said, I actually feel quite overwhelmed trying to address everything, exercise, nutrition, you know, everything all at once across various platforms. If you had to suggest just one thing or a few basics for making a difference, what would that be? And my, I mean, this is a tricky one for me because I do like the holistic picture. I do find it really hard to say the one thing. I'm just about to I'm part of a TV show coming up on Sky TV in November, which is very exciting. It's called Feel Good Factor TV. So I hope y'all will watch it. But it's quite interesting because, you know, initially I had thought that my show for this kind of little channel would be focused around skincare, holistic. You know, I do a lot around natural skincare. So I thought it would be around natural skincare and beauty. But I very quickly realized, hold on, if I'm doing this kind of segment for a 13-week series, I can't actually share and teach about natural and organic skincare and beauty without bringing in other elements. I just can't do it because really one thing impacts on the other. And as you all know, my whole life has been kind of based around the holistic living piece. And as you also know, sobriety was the missing bit. So anyway, that's a very long-winded way of saying I do find it hard to just say use one pot of cream or eat one thing and all will be well. However, to answer the question, okay, what is the one thing or what would make a difference? My answer would be that if you are in the early weeks of ditching the booze, eat 3 meals a day and have protein with every meal and eat real food. And that kind of is it, actually, because when you're in the early stages, the likelihood is your brain chemistry is going to be so out of whack. You're going to be so low in you know, deficient in various chemicals and your serotonin and dopamine and the like. And actually, you can heal through food. And the mistake that so many of us make is that we forget these basics and we think to ourselves, oh, I'm ditching the booze, so great time to lose some weight. So I tell you what I'll do. I'll skip breakfast and I'll just have I'll grab a really quick, you know, crappy thing for lunch, or I'll just have some kind of slimming shake, whatever the hell. And then, of course, you get a sugar head on top of that. So it all becomes a mess. Actually, the early weeks are the time to focus on, you know, what some people call a recovery diet. It's a medicinal diet that you need to be on. It just so happens that it's called real food, and actually real food. So in other words, you know, not your stuff in your packets. You don't need to be worrying about what's on the label, because ideally it won't have a label. So real food, 3 times a day with protein. So and that doesn't mean a massive steak. I'm talking, it can be some nuts, it can be some seeds. And we just did a great session in the Sober Club with, as I mentioned, with a naturopath. And we were saying there the importance of don't have anything low fat. You know, forget that ridiculous low fat argument that was around, you know, I don't know, 15 years ago or something for everyone. Forget low fat. Have proper full fat stuff that's good for you. Good fats. And forget low sugar. Absolutely. I mean, sugar's bad, but artificial sweeteners are, you know, even worse. So that would be the absolute basics. And of course, I could add a ton more onto that. But for now, I'll start with that, assuming that you're in the early weeks. And then on a similar note, someone asks about nutrition for the menopause. And again, I'd need to refer you there to some of the more in-depth interviews and things I've done. I'll put a link in the show notes to an interview that I've done all about great food for the menopause. I've got a really good blog post interview that I did with Dr. Hannah Short on nutrition for the menopause. Also on one of the podcasts, Katie Ruan, which was episode 39. See, I've got my little list in front of me. Naturopath Katie Ruan was with us on episode 39. She gives us some great tips for good, really good nutrition, including stuff for the menopause. Also, the Plant Power Doctor, Dr. Gemma Newman. See if I can find what episode that was. You see, I've got 100 podcasts to look through here, or at least listed. I'll find it in a moment. But that was a good one off the top of my head. I remember that that we spoke about that stuff. We did an interview with Dale Pinnock, the medicinal chef, and that's fantastic in terms of good nutrition as well. So check that one out, episode 53. And we will do more around diet for people who have the menopause, because it's, you know, it's a big one. On a similar note to that, I had a question about relationships. Again, you see, this can be a big thing, can't it? We did a great podcast with Africa Brooke talking about relationships and sex. That was episode 50. But this Sober Club member said, I think I'm in the early stages of the menopause. I've been sober for almost a year. I have zero libido, even though my partner is patient. And that doesn't feel like much of a benefit. and interestingly, we asked our relationships expert. We have Haya Kletcherman, who does some stuff for us within the Sober Club. And she basically said, you know, be kind to yourself. It's a theme that runs through so much of what we talk about. Be kind to yourself, because you're going through two major changes in a year. You know, if you're perimenopausal and you've ditched the booze, then that's a very big makeover of your life, of your life, of your sex life, of your life in general. And she gave a few tips for this person, but the bottom line really is be kind to yourself, be patient, try some other stuff. And you know, you're going to need to do quite a bit of communicating. Focus on the intimacy, being about deep connection, really, at this point. And also, bringing back that nutrition piece, at this stage, there will be various foods, various supplements that can help. If you're perimenopausal and if you have low libido, there are some supplements. I think we've spoken in the past about maca, MACA, which is a great food supplement. It's kind of like a powder, which can add to smoothies. Wild yam is meant to be very good, and of course, there is actually the supplement Horny Goat. It's actually called that. I mean, couldn't wish for a better name, really. Right. OK, next question. I got another couple here that I thought I'd share with you. One is back on. It's a little bit similar to the one I started with, really. But this person says, I'm about 18 months sober, but I didn't really ever get the pink cloud and the joy and self-love. How do I get that? Perhaps I'm a lost cause. Now, I thought this was really interesting as well, because, I mean, one thing we'd have to say is, well, for starters, reframe that language, you know, the language around being a lost cause. We have to look at how we talk to ourselves. You know, we wouldn't do that with someone else. We would say, well, be patient with yourself. By the way, there's lots of podcasts. If you want to reference podcasts on being kind to yourself, then Shiru Azadi's podcast number 8 is all about being kind to yourself. So I definitely recommend that to this, the person asking this question. Dr. David Hamilton as well, on kindness and self-care. That was episode 6. They're both great for that. So I would say, you know, first of all, reframe that language and try saying, I'm joy curious, whatever the expression would be, self-love curious. That would be better, wouldn't it? That flows better. Just try saying, I'm self-love curious. Ask yourself, well, what might that mean for me? Rather than kind of, if you literally tell your unconscious mind, I am a lost cause, that's exactly what it will sort for you. But the answer to this, I suppose, is I don't know why people feel different at different times, but what we have to remember is that when you're sober, it does shine light on everything else. And if there is deep-rooted stuff there, it can show itself. It can become apparent. So it's possible that the brain chemistry is completely out of whack. That's highly, highly likely, particularly if you are low in those basic neurotransmitters, the serotonin, the GABA, the dopamine, because it massively impacts on your mood. So diet, I would definitely say, is worth looking at. Asking, you know, where is the self-care in your life? Where is the sweetness in your life? And of course, I don't just mean chucking the sugar in. What do you actually do for self-care? So I think that's, you know, really, really worth looking at. But also being really honest and asking, is there deep-rooted trauma there? Is there stuff that needs to be looked at? I mentioned when I answered that first question, is there a bloody great anchor that's been dropped? And at the moment, you haven't been able to look at it because it can be tough, right? Sometimes we've got, you know, we've got stuff, we've got emotional baggage that goes back a long way. And just not drinking won't sort it. So you need to do the sobriety piece first. There's no doubt about that. But then, it might be that you have to be super brave and really do that detective work and ask yourself what is going on. But back to the kind of the everyday, my tip would be that if this is you and you're sort of thinking, you know, I've heard Janie banging on about this joy and this amazing gift that keeps on giving and all of this stuff, and I'm not feeling that. I'm not drinking, but I'm not feeling that. Then I would say my tip would be for at least the next 30 days, so you're going to have a new 30-day challenge. When you wake up, ask yourself or again, write down in a journal, I wonder if today I'll feel a sense of self-love and joy. Literally be curious. Throw that question out there and then let your unconscious mind go and look for something to support it. And then really importantly, it comes back to that gratitude piece. So before you go to bed, you write down in detail at least five things that have brought you some level of happiness, something you're grateful for. But in detail, I've said this lots of times, you know, this is not just that, oh, I'm grateful I've got home, but, you know, it might be something that feels very small, but that it was a sense of gratitude. And this is where the fabulous Catherine Gray comes in, because I've interviewed Catherine a couple of times for the podcast. She was with me on episode number 5 when we spoke about The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober, which, of course, is one of my all-time favourite books. And then I interviewed her again. Let me see. I don't know which podcast that was. I'd have to go down my list of 100. I can't see it at the moment, but it was anyways, you can scroll down the list. But I interviewed her again for the book The Unexpected. Oh, here it is. I found it. It was episode 60. So if you have a listen to episode 60, which is with Catherine Gray talking about The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary, it's such an important book because she teaches us in that book to recognize that sometimes it's the small things where we can start to feel that sense of being content. And that was a feeling I didn't ever have. I was always anxious, always stressed, always chaotic, always panicky, always, you know, too stressed, too tired, too fast, too slow. It didn't matter what it was. I was never actually fully present and content. And I genuinely didn't know what joy meant. That book, I think, is amazing because it just shines a light on ordinary joys. And she's got a whole list of them, and they're just fabulous. I mean, tiny things from enjoying, you know, a cafetiere, plunging into the coffee, through to, you know, scrunching up some paper and chucking it into a waste bin and see if you can make it in one. You know, little things. But focus on little things and you can start to, you know, have some appreciation. So that would be my tip, is focus on those little things, write the gratitude list and be self-love curious. There's my tip. So in terms of the podcast then, obviously I'm not going to read out 100 podcasts. I'd obviously be here forever. But I've mentioned a few, I've flagged up a few for you. Looking through the list, there were some that I had even forgotten that I'd done, but I recall them, you know, when I see the title, I think, oh, wow, yeah. We did one episode 15 was with Kitty Waters, and we were talking about finding your purpose. And you know, that was absolutely ages ago. And since then, I've obviously started the Sober Club, and I've been I'm a coach as well, and I've been working with people. And one of the things that almost always happens is, a few weeks into the coaching, whatever stage people are at with their sobriety, they start to get really excited about their future. Kitty calls it, you know, doing your Dharma. And they start to get really excited about something, whether it's a new career, a new project, travel. That's tough right now, but you know what I mean. So it's a lovely one to have a listen to. Obviously, my podcast with Claire Pooley, you can't possibly miss that. I've interviewed her a couple of times. If you're interested in, you know, some statistics and stuff around alcohol in the UK, then Richard Piper from Alcohol Change UK is with me on episode 21. Episode 22 was me talking to you about how much I loved Rocket Man, the movie, and how that encourages us towards forgiveness. And then, Mrs. D is going without Lotterdam. She was so lovely. Episode 23. Then just to flag up a few more, just picking them out randomly, really, from my list. Jolene Park, episode number 30, talking about grey area drinkers. She talks in that episode about all the stuff I've just been mentioning, really, about the neurotransmitters and the importance of this, and about this term grey area drinkers, which she, of course, gave the TED talk all about grey area drinkers. It's people who, you know, are not at rock bottom, but they're also not completely okay with what's going on, and they can have periods of time where they don't drink, but then for some kind of weird reason they just decide, I'll get back on that spiral again. So she explains all of that for us. I've since gone on and trained, so I now work as a grey area drinking coach. So that's a good one to listen to. Kira Jean Roberts gives us a lot of great nutritional tips, episode 35. I've already mentioned naturopath Katie Ruan, that's episode 39. And if you're interested in fitness, Jane Thurnell Reed, episode 40, talks about aging well and how as you age, you know, it really is a case of, you know, use it or lose it, basically. That was real good. Mel Collins on highly sensitive people. That was an interesting one. Episode 43. A lot of people love that podcast because they'd never even considered till they ditched the booze that they were highly sensitive. They and actually quite introverted. Not that all highly sensitive people are introverted, but quite a few are. And actually this this highly sensitive person, this HSP, it's actually amazingly common. And a lot of people just don't realise it till they ditch the booze and they realise that they weren't exactly who they thought they were. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. It's amazing actually finding yourself again. That's one of the great joys, of course. Annie Grace, I interviewed on episode 49. That was when, we already opened up the Sober Club. Then Africa Brook, I've already mentioned, episode 50. Shan Jones from Chuckling Goat, that was episode 52. That's all about gut health. That was a fascinating podcast too. Laura Willoughby from Club Soda on how to be a mindful drinker. That was episode 56. And let's have a look. Rachel Welford talking about anxiety, meditation. Episode 61. Episode 62, Glenn Harold, who is the a leading hypnosis author. Together, Glenn and I have an audio download called Quit the Alcohol Habit Forever. So I do the kind of motivation and the tips, and then Glenn does the hypnosis. And he was explaining exactly how hypnosis works. And as I've already mentioned, if you join the Sober Club, you get a free audio from Glenn, an audio meditation. And then Dr. Gemma Newman, that was the one I was searching for, wasn't it? The Plant Power Doctor was episode number 65. If you are interested in stress and statistics around stress in the UK, Neil Shah was a great guest, episode number 72. And then let me see. Oh, NLP. I've been doing a lot of NLP because I'm now trained as an NLP practitioner. And that has some amazing applications with regard to ditching the booze. So Joe and Andy, Andy Coley and Joe Wilson on The Power of NLP is episode number 75. And what else shall I mention? Oh, Denise Wells. I cannot possibly miss out Denise. What a great interview. She was so generous with sharing her story. And, you know, she really taught me some stuff about depression and what it really is, stuff that I just hadn't grasped before. So I was really appreciative of Denise's time. And there have been people who've told me that that podcast really enabled them to look again at what was going on for them, you know, with their mental health. So that's a great one to listen to if you haven't already. That's episode number 85. Heather Nickell, another great nutrition coach, was episode 88. And Jessica Huey on Finding Your Purpose, back on that thing of how do you know what you're here to do? That was great. She's got such an interesting story. That was episode number 91. I've already spoken about people who find sleep difficult. So I interviewed nutritionist Rob Hobson on Sober Sleep, episode number 92. And then just a couple of weeks back, Kate Moyseff on forgiveness. That was number 98. So I just picked out a bunch for you there. So if you didn't catch me say at the beginning, it is the 100th episode. Feels like quite a milestone, really. And as I've already mentioned, the Sober Club is open. So do join us just for this weekend. This will be your last chance to get in at this price. And I think you'll love it. But of course, if you don't, you can leave at any time. And don't forget, you can get those fab gifts if you join us now. It's thesoberclub.com. If the Sober Club is not your thing, but you just love listening to the podcast, we do have our little give back scheme now as well, which is just been amazing to be able to help fund people who can't afford to keep up their memberships or maybe they need coaching. So you just need to go to thesoberclub.com/giveback if you'd like to make some kind of donation. You know, some people have those Patreon things on their podcast, don't they? And I never got around to doing that. But if you did want to give back, then, you know, we'd be hugely grateful. And I know that it's this whole thing of kindness is good for you. And it took me ages to kind of get my head around that. But I'm hugely grateful for if that's something you want to do. Anyways, that was just me talking at you for a heck of a long time. And I really look forward to bringing you more guests. We have some great guests lined up. As always, make sure you let me know if there's anyone you'd like me to interview. I can always give it a try. Absolutely, whatever stage you are at, please reach out for help if you need help. You know now that I'll answer questions. So whatever stage you're at, feel free to, you know, drop me some questions. And make sure you follow me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. And if you're doing this, it's hard. It can be really hard in those early weeks. You know, I never forget that. One of the great things about being in the Sober Club is that, yeah, there are people on year six and some on year one and some on 6 months. But there are some people who are on day one. And you know, you read of their agonies and it takes you right back there and you think, oh, man, I remember that. I remember not being able to sleep and having leg cramps and just feeling so, I don't know, pissed off, actually. I felt pissed off for weeks. But it takes you back there and it makes you realise, wow, just how lucky am I to be through that. And anything that we can do to help encourage you to get to that place for you, you know, to get back in touch with the real you. Anything we can do to inspire you and encourage you, then we absolutely will. So know that we absolutely have your back. Give yourself a massive hug and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.